Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and thanks for 39 great beers.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading The Life of Chuck by Stephen King. And who's starting with a beer? Nate, is that you?
I'll start with a beer, even though it was for the middle part of the book, because it's going to be very short, so I got to open it now. Okay, the middle part of the book, Chuck is out walking through Boston, and he sees a drummer and busking, and Chuck decides to, like, dance a lot, and everyone is so impressed, and everyone has a great time, and even a hot girl joins him. It's like he brought Fresh Vibes by Beer Tree Brew.
So I thought it was like he was possessed, and his possessor was brain cancer.
What? Is that a beer called Brain Cancer?
That's called Possessor.
Oh, I think I saw that at this door.
From Schenker Beer Company. Schenker? Barely know her. Okay. I need to drink this just so I don't cough right now.
Yes. Michael is joining us from 1896 on Ellis Island, where he's just been rejected for having tuberculosis.
Yeah. That and for being a bigamist.
What?
That was one of the questions. Like, are you a polygamist? And then you were like, I don't know. They were like, get lost, Guido. Those are some of the questions. If you look at those manifests, I was like, are you a polygamist? Are you an anarchist? How much money do you have? And they're like, $3. And they're like, that's enough to buy a house. So Life of Chuck is a novella in Stephen King's fairly recent novella collection called Sabado Gigante. And it is... called If It Bleeds, which I didn't even fucking hear about, but it came out in 2020, I think, or 2021. And we're doing this because they're making a movie of it.
It's got to be a short movie.
Like every Stephen King book. They must have added a lot of shit to it.
I guess if you can edit a 1,000-page It down to 4 hours, you can edit a 120-page book up to a solid 83 minutes.
It's a fucking incredible dance sequence.
It's like 35 minutes right in the middle of the movie.
It's like a big Bob Fosse number. So the book is The Life of Chuck in three acts, and it's backwards. It starts with the end of his life, and it's really weird. It's takes place. Chuck is not even really a character. There's these other characters. I forgot the guy's name, but no, his wife's name was Felicia, or his ex-wife.
Marty.
And he's living in just about apocalyptic California, and the world is just ending slowly. You know, the internet is dying.
Well, California is falling off of America. I don't know where he lives.
I thought he was, I felt like he was there, but I guess not.
He talked about California, but I didn't think he was in California. It kind of didn't matter. He was in some very generic
every town
suburban
America.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Because right. California is breaking off because of earthquakes and falling into the sea piece by piece throughout the first act.
And the Midwest is on fire, and a lot of really not great stuff is going on. The power keeps going out, and everyone is like, wow.
The internet's
even
dying.
The internet's dying. So he even says on like page 3, like everyone is really worried about losing Pornhub.
Did you see the news today?
Was there news about Pornhub today?
They're introducing a bill to make all porn illegal.
Oh, but that's never going to happen.
Because if there's anything that the internet has taught us is by making something illegal, people will definitely never do it. Well, yeah, the people are concerned about porn, but he's like a school teacher. He's like, the parents are like, hey, the internet's going out. What about my porn? It's like, sir, I just teach social studies. I don't know. And if you're wondering, what does this have to do with Chuck? Well, Marty notices a giant billboard when he's stuck in gridlock because, you know, the power grid has failed, so the stoplights don't work. And it's a picture of Chuck, and it says, Chuck, thanks for 39 great years. Sincerely... I don't remember who.
Like Midwest National Community Bank or some shit, you know.
Right, yeah. And he's like, that's fucking weird. Okay.
And also, he's like, wow, he doesn't look like he's got like really old or he's not really old or has like really gray hair. So why is it thanks for 39? He really did 39. He worked for them for 39 years?
Child
that's
labor.
Funny.
He started young. He started in the mines.
Built the bank with his bare,
the
tiny
coins
hands.
They minted. We had to get the ore.
But yeah, he's seeing these billboards, but he also sees like skywriting airplanes. And it's like, wow, they're really going all out for this guy, Chuck, who seemingly has retired but is of no consequence to anyone that I know.
Even find somebody who works at that bank, and they're like, no, I never met that guy. Don't know who he is.
He must work Weird. In the other branch.
The Omaha branch.
And he, this Marty, who you assume is the main character of this story, but he's not, goes around. He's like, oh, I'm going to go try to bang my ex-wife and get drunk and not grade these papers. You know, the life of a teacher, I'm told. And then he goes around doing that. And everyone's like, yep, did you hear? The other road just broke. Fuck it. Everything's over now.
The Earth's rotation is slowing down.
Oh, yeah. There's a guy. Did you notice that? And he's like, why would you notice this, sir? He's like, well, the Pornhub's been loading slow. I've been paying attention to things.
And he opens up Netflix, and the titles are all gone. Instead, it just says, thanks for 39 great years, Chuck. And he's like, I got to clear my cookies or something. I don't know what's going on.
And the newest season of the Great British Bake Off. That's it. Those things. And the Baby Shark Show. He's like, this is worse than death. At some point, he's like wandering around at night, and he meets some girl, and I forget. It doesn't fucking matter. And then he just sees everybody's window is lit up with the Chuck, thanks for 39 great years sign. So now it's like supernatural. Like, how is their fucking houses turning into projectors for this? And then he meets his ex-wife.
And then the world ends. Like, literally, yeah. They're like on a park bench, like, or on a bench, and they're like, or like on the lawn or something like that. It's at night, and they're like, looks like the world's ending. Yep, and he says,
the stars are going out.
Yeah, and he starts to say I love you, but doesn't even make it halfway. Doesn't even make it through. He says I love, and then it says the world ends. And then cut to a hospital room where a random dude is dying of brain cancer, and the guy and his son are there. I know it's his brother and son are there, and it's like, yeah, Chuck, at only 39. Man, it's such a shame. Like, wait, what?
I feel like it was cut in a little bit throughout. There were little snippets of this hospital bed, but I could be imagining that now. I read this last week.
But something like matter. That.
It doesn't, yeah.
You
yeah.
kind of find out, like, Chuck is dying, and then at the same time that he dies, the universe just pops out of existence, just goes poof, it's gone. And so, like, this very first, the act three, which is actually the first act, is basically like a Black Mirror episode. Where suddenly it's just that the whole universe depends on just one person.
Isn't that how we live? Isn't that how our existence feels?
It's just me.
Oh, yeah, for us, absolutely. Yeah. The entire universe only exists when I am here to notice it.
Well, when I'm not here to notice it, I mean, who fucking cares? I don't. I'm just grateful that I missed so much boring shit. Like fucking Charlemagne? Oh, my God. That must have been brutal.
Not fun. Not fun.
Oh, feudalism? Oh, God.
So you're like, that was weird. Thank goodness Stephen King's going to explain everything. And then it jumps back 9 months earlier before he had a brain cancer baby. And he's walking around on a business trip to who gives a fuckville?
It's Boston.
That's Chuck. Oh, yeah. It's Beantown.
Beantown. He's in town for an accountant seminar, which really just sounds
Berkeley
thrilling.
Dropout playing drums on the
no,
street.
No, he's a Juilliard dropout playing on the streets of Boston. Come on, Stephen.
No one knows Berkeley exists.
Come on, Stephen. You didn't know. Jimmy is offended by that.
Yeah.
No, he'd still be in school and still doing that if he was.
He's a drummer.
He's a 47th semester drummer. At Berkeley, you don't go by year, you go by semester because people don't make it to the end.
And he's just waiting for his fusion free jazz trip-hop band to pick up or whatever.
He's just playing like fucking regular-ass songs, but like by himself. So no one can tell what they are. It's just, you know, it's just a regular-ass drum beat.
It's just a rock beat every time.
It's like, oh yeah, he's really nailing it. He's
playing Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones. Wait, but it's just the drum part. So it's boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick. And the crowd. And no wonder he doesn't get any tips, you know, busking.
Yeah, that's like being a chef who just does the salt. Like, can you tell what I'm going for here? And like,
on the fire.
So is this a minestrone? No, I was going for a beef carpaccio, actually. But so he is doing this. And he's like, man, I should be making more money playing drums to strangers on the street. And then you realize, well, it is Stephen King. This is a horror story. This is what a nightmare. It's like The Shining.
But luckily for him, this day, several people will dance and he will make more money. And that person is Chuck and a lady whose boyfriend just left her because he's a dick. And they dance and everyone has a great fucking time. And it's Boston, so who cares?
They don't. So Chuck Chuck just is like got out of his conference and he's walking down the street and he hears a drummer. It's like, wow, I just feel like dancing. So he just like dances because you find out in the next slash earlier part that he liked to dance as a kid. And so he just dances a lot and then the hot girl walks up and is like, you know what, I think I'm going to dance too. And then they just dance together and apparently do that for like hours and they make...
Yeah, he does the shit out of the electric slide, and he does a half-assed middle-aged man moonwalk.
Well, he did definitely at some point in his life have a bar mitzvah, so he's bringing back all the old moves.
And all of the people in Boston are like, this guy dances really good, but he's not black, so I can like it. And so they watch that.
And they can't tell he's Jewish, so they're okay with him.
Yeah, they're not sure. He's moving too fast for them to really get a good look at his nose. But they put... a lot of money in the coffee can that the guy's holding out there for money, or the hat or whatever it is. And then the drummer guy, because he's a fucking drummer, he's like, let's tour with this.
this is the next Riverdance.
This is like the Beatles, but better. They're like, no, I'm good. I'd rather die of brain cancer than do that.
Yes. And he's got a big headache. He's like, wow, I got a really bad headache. Hope nothing comes of that.
Must have been those fucking drums. Oh my God, that guy didn't shut up. I think it just goes on for a long time about the dancing.
Well, at least it wasn't a bass player.
The bass solo, that's like The Exorcist.
can't dance to that.
Yeah, but at least you could know what song it was that was being played. So that is a plus.
This sounds like a shitty guitar player playing that song I know, but with half as many notes.
Oh, we got the
and
long
more
guitar.
Virginly.
Or a keyboard player, but only has a left hand.
Yeah, they do that sometimes. But then that part ends, and you're like, I don't know where this book is going. It better go into the past, and it does. It goes into the past to Chuck as a wee lad, and... it's like, okay, I guess we're doing this. And what, like his parents die in an accident and he's raised by his notably Jewish grandparents.
Yeah, like Grandpa Moisha and Bubba. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very sad childhood. His mom is pregnant and they're like, you're going to have a baby sister. And he's like, I can't wait to hold her. And then his parents fucking die. And he's like, oh my God, this is the worst. And he does what any good Boston boy does, or wherever the fuck he's from, he turns into Billy Elliot. He's like, I must dance. This is the only medicine. And so he becomes like guy from the Mighty Mighty Boston's who just dances in the band.
He's the manager.
But Chuck is in like, high school garage bands. And he spends most of his time, I think he's like kind of a singer, but he really just dances the whole time. You know, like, this is going to be awesome when somebody invents ska.
Oh, yeah. It's not that time yet. I mean, for the third wave. But then he joins the after-school dance program.
That all schools have.
Yeah.
This is like before Ford was president, so like they didn't cut all
the
arts
it takes
programs.
Place in like the modern times.
I don't know. I'm making sure.
Because when he dies, it's like around now. Like
it was. So it was probably the 80s.
He's only.
No, they mention Michael Jackson.
It's 30 years ago because he's 40 when he dies.
Oh, true. Yeah, so he does the late 90s. So it has to be after 1982, whenever the moonwalk came out.
And he does a bunch of dancing and even dances with the hot 13-year-old. He's also 13, so that's not creepy.
important point.
And then he goes to the dance. Alone, but still dances with the hot 13-year-old. I forget what her name was.
Doesn't matter.
Nope.
And then...
but what matters is that he kills it.
Yeah. So great.
Fucking living legend.
The other weird thing that happens is because he's living with his grandparents and his grandfather is like, oh, I can't go when his grandfather gets drunk.
Which is
like, oh, you can't go up to the whatever it's called.
The
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. So they live in an old Victorian house that has one of those spire thingies called the cupola. And
those
grandfather's
are the, those
like,
are,
no, can't go up
the
there.
Bowser's goons, right?
Yeah.
The cupolas?
Those are the Goombas.
The Koopas?
Goombas.
That's a slur.
not what Bowser
not
says.
Okay to say. I mean, no one is surprised that Bowser's racist. That's like calling people Fredo. You can't do that. Mario Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo would fight you if you say these things. Or no, Chris Cuomo was the one that got all mad.
Yeah, Chris Cuomo.
Some called him Fredo. Just awesome.
And then he like lost his job, right? Not long after that. I can't remember if they were related.
No, he lost his job because they were like, wait, remember when you were like pretending to interview your brother and he killed all the old people and you never asked him questions? He was like, what? I was supposed to? Like, it had something to do with that, I thought. When Andrew Cuomo made an offer the old people couldn't refuse, death. But I digress. So there's a haunted part of the house, according to Drunk Gramps. What does he say, Nate?
Not much. Actually, he really doesn't say much about it at all. He says something like, what's the worst part is the waiting. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. What are you talking about?
Well, he hints that he knows how he's going to die.
Because he says he's seen ghosts there a couple times. And it's not clear at first because the grandpa's a drunk. But then, like, the son, what the fuck is his name? Chuck. It's like the timing of these things is weird. It's like he saw the ghost of people before they actually died.
Mm, yeah, he's Babe Ruthing local deaths. You know, calling the shots, and they're just like, how could he know that? He didn't see that. He's ridiculous. But he is. He knows.
Everyone's really points at someone saying, that guy's going to die. He's going to shit his pants, too. It's going to be really cool. Grandpa, that's a mirror. I know.
But then Grandpa does die.
I think Grandma dies first, doesn't she? She dies in the
she does.
Supermarket.
Oh, yeah. She has a stroke in the supermarket, and that...
Clean up on aisle three.
Does wonders for his grandfather's drinking faults. And so he dies too, pretty soon after that, like a year. Then after a minute, Chuck is like, I better go investigate that cupola that I was never allowed to go into. Since they're both dead, they can't stop me. And he goes up there and he's like, oh, you can see a lot of shit from up here. And then he turns around and he sees a vision of a guy in a hospital bed. And he's like, oh, okay.
I bet that guy could do the shit out of the moonwalk.
Yeah. And it's him. That's what it is. He sees his own, how he's going to die. But he doesn't know exactly where or when or how. He just like sees that, oh, I'm going to die. And
better
then
dance.
The end. Well, and then that's the last paragraph, isn't it?
One other important thing in there is that he has a teacher who teaches them the Walt Whitman poem that has the line, I contain multitudes.
And he's like, I think I've seen that DVD.
Yeah, what is that?
The gangbang one?
Yeah, this is airtight. Walt in with men. and she's like, you know. She
reams of ass.
She puts her hands on his head.
I contain multi-dudes.
She's like, what's between my hands? And he's like, my head? Because he's a dumb kid. And she's like, no, like your brain contains everything you've ever seen and thought and done. And you contain multitudes. And he's like, I get it. Whatever.
It's a metaphor.
Going to be on the test?
Dumbass.
He leaves. And then it ends. And you're like, huh. I got to think about that one for a minute. Or not. Or you could just move on with your life, too. It's fine, too.
Which is what Stephen King did with the story. He just moved
novella.
On.
Novella.
Apparently, in the book, there's like a little, I don't know if it's an introduction or author's note or something, but he's like, you know, you got to figure this one out. It's like, you know, shit, Steve. You put it backwards. It's a puzzle. Got it. Took about a minute to figure it out, though. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
No. I mean, I think ultimately, it was a cute gimmick, but I think it was not successful. We should say, what is the gimmick? Let's test Nate. I bet Nate did music. Fuck this book. So what happened? Why did the world end?
I don't know.
What? Really?
Really?
No.
The world was...
The Jews, Nate. Yeah. You said this before.
Yeah. Oh,
it was the juice. It caused
all the keep telling wars. You to stop saying that, but you say it every time.
It was right this one time.
Not every book has the same antagonist.
It's the life of Chuck Schwab.
Well, his name is Chuck Krantz. You know, he's actually Jewish. But the world that ended was the world
was his
of
head.
his mind. It was his mind shutting down slowly.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Nothing complicated.
There's not more than that. If there is, we all missed that.
No, yeah, it's very straightforward.
No, that's what I thought too. I thought it's wait, did I miss something?
And the Jews.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, when but like, from the first part when the world disappeared, it's because he just like he was dead. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, that's it. But like when you read it at first, you're like, that's weird. The world just ended. And then when it gets to the fucking Walt Whitman poem, you're like, oh, he's really laying it on thick here about this fucking poem. And, you know,
he's not a writer known for his subtlety.
No, he is not. Not one mentioned the word Jehubis, though, in the story. So Stevens, you know, he could still surprise us.
His mind contained multitudes of Jehubis as well.
But yeah, that was like the little puzzle you have to figure out. And you're like, what the fuck did the first half have to do with the other parts? Oh, yeah, the world ended because he died. Okay. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's ultimately not... It was a cute story. I think it ultimately is not super successful. Like, that... It just seems disjunct. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is my personal taste. I shouldn't have to fucking figure out the puzzle of a Stephen King story.
I mean, there wasn't much really to figure out. I mean, I can't imagine there's someone out there who didn't get it.
You know what? I bet you go on Reddit right now, you'll see a bunch of people arguing over it.
I mean, yeah, there were a few people like saying, I don't get it. I was like, oh, come on, dude. Just get it, man. Just get it.
If you don't get it, it's probably because you forgot the first part. Like, yeah. You're like, what the? Oh, yeah, there was that part where the world ended. We've been talking a lot about this kid dancing.
Well, it might be because it didn't seem to connect to anything.
Yeah, that's
it what ultimately I ultimately did, but
didn't work great for me. Like, it would have been more... I don't know, like more of a thread connecting it did really seem like the first act three, was really disjointed. Like maybe this is something they'll do in the movie. Like those people that you see in the beginning, where you're like, who the fuck are Marty and Felicia? Maybe they will be introduced somehow as like, that's like, you know, kind of like a...
I think they'll like interweave it as opposed to just doing it in chunks.
Like it'll be like these are people in his head. Like who the fuck are these people? Like that's his. That was the guy who read the gas meter that one time. Or you know, and that was that nice lady who he had to sign a package for. You know, like they.
It's like, possible. Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do it.
Because otherwise, like who the fuck are those characters? They're just random people that exist in his head.
Well, so I guess it's just the idea is that you know, each of us contains an entire world. But it's more of a metaphor, but in this case, it's Stephen King, so it's very direct.
It is a literal world inside your head.
Yeah.
With continental drift. I don't know. What do you guys think of the story?
Oh, I thought it was short. Which?
It was short.
It's objectively true, yeah.
Yes, true. I will fight you on that. So it, you know, was different for Stephen King. Although I thought, here's the thing. The short story as a like medium used to be very popular, and a lot of novelists, you actually got their start publishing short stories first because you could just submit some and they would go into magazines and, you know, you could start to make a name for yourself. So a lot of authors literally cut their teeth doing short stories. And the trick about a short story is it has to have just like a little twist to it. But the problem is when the short story is too long, it's not fucking very good anymore. Like the best short stories are really only like 8 to 10 pages, or at least in my opinion, the like truest form of the short story is a like 5 to 10 page thing with like a twist at the end and boom, that's all you need. Whereas this there was a twist sort of, but it's too long for that. Yet it still feels like it was meant to be just a little short story. Like, it could have been only the first part, and then it turns into... And it could have been only the first part, where you find out that the world ends just because the guy dies.
That would have been more.
That could have been the whole thing, and more of a typical short story kind of thing. Mm. And we didn't need the rest, but Stephen King can't help himself. Even though he's like kicked the cocaine, he still can't help himself.
I think this is pretty tame for Stephen King.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it's still three times too long.
What I got out of it is the point seems to be that Chuck was a fairly normal, run-of-the-mill guy. Like, nothing, I mean, besides seeing a ghost of his own death, you know, because Stephen King got a little supernatural shit in there. Everything else about his life was fairly pedestrian, you know. Nothing crazy. But, you know, even regular-ass people are vast, complex, entire things unto themselves. And maybe, you know, we think of like, oh, like, simple people have got nothing going on. And, you know, all these important people have all shit. You know, everyone's just as important to somebody. So, I don't know. I think it was nice. I thought it was very nice, you know, for Stephen King, which is a rare thing. It's not really his normal thing. But I liked it. I don't think I'll see a movie about this, but I thought it was a nice little story. I'll watch it for free sometime.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I hope that I have enough empathy now as a man who's near 40 to know that other people have interior lives. I didn't need Stephen King to tell me that, I hope.
I don't know if it's just as much like an interior, I don't know, what does an interior life mean in this country? I don't know.
Well, just like that they have thoughts and memories and hopes and prayers and dreams and experiences that, you know, I mean, like, it's literally, you contain the multitudes, they're inside. The multitudes are from inside the house.
Inside the computer.
That's what I meant by it. I mean, I don't know if that's really the right use of that expression, I realize. But
yeah, I realize I don't know what it means.
I mean, I just think, like, I mean, I do find myself often, actually, in public spaces, like on the subway, like, I bet that person's a moron. Like, I look at
yeah, it's a totally normal human thing.
Like, and you're like, that person looks dumb. And then the, like, slack-jawed person who's playing music out of their phone without headphones, like, you know what? They probably are assholes. They don't have much going on. But it is good to be reminded of that, I guess. I don't go to Stephen King for my moral edification, but...
No, not usually.
And I guess that's an important thing to be reminded of now. I realize, you know, yeah, maybe we could all stand up to be reminded that other people have shit going on. We're not the only ones who are interesting.
Everyone is suffering.
Everyone's just doing shit.
Yeah, if the Buddha was alive today, that would be like the real lesson. Like, everyone's just fucking busy, guy.
There's a lot going on, man.
Have you seen the news?
What was that? That one of those made-up words? People like competitions were like make-up words, and it was like sondering. And it was like walking around realizing everyone is just as vast and complex as you are.
Oh, is that YouTube guy that does those things?
I don't remember where it came from, but it was, you know, it's one of those fucking things on the internet people made up.
There's a guy who wrote, he had a blog called The Dictionary of Unknown Sorrows or something like that.
It very much could be part of that.
And,
it sounds like
and
it.
Where he'd like take real roots of words to try to describe this, you know, emotion that's complex. And they always end up sounding very German because that's where you expect to find these like weird words, like that emotion that, you know, the feeling when you realize that your creative idea was almost certainly thought of by someone else at a different point in time. Like, oh shit. Yeah, that's true. I can't remember
Things that exist in other languages but don't translate to English, so you have to have a long sentence for. But things in this case, they're not real words at all. They're just stuff made up. Yeah, like
Keanu.
With a mountain breeze or some shit?
It's like a soft breeze coming over the mountains.
Yeah.
Whoa. But yeah, I mean, those are, I guess, real things to consider. I don't know if we're supposed to get that from Stephen King might be a little snobby enough or pretentious enough to think like, I'm going to teach the people. Or I think he really just like, I have a cool idea. I don't think he thinks much more than that.
He's not preaching.
And then he thinks, but I sure missed the cocaine.
Oh yeah.
This could be 10 times longer.
I don't want to remember writing this. I did like this. I think even though I kind of was like, it could have been better. It's a one sitting read. So I don't know about your Nate. I agree with you. Short stories kind of work best for me when they are punchy and like a Twilight Zone episode. When you're like, whoa, and then it's over. This took me like one commute to read. It was really quite short. It was basically one sitting, and nobody fucking reads for more than a tweet these days. But like reading for 45 minutes or an hour isn't a huge investment in terms of books typically. So I'd say this is maybe at the top end of short stories. But it could have, of course, been tighter or like more or like the, I don't know. I feel like it could have been a little woven together better. I have no interest in reading the rest of this collection.
The next story looked actually really long, so I'm like, oh, nope.
Well, one of them is like a sequel to one of his books, so.
Oh.
The titles are terrible. Mr. Harrigan's Phone, If It Bleeds, and Rat. I mean, it's no it, but it's not a very thrilling title.
It's twice as many letters.
50% more letters. Same amount of T.
Well, it'll be an interesting movie that we'll see for free one day.
Maybe.
Massive cast for a short film.
Oh, there's like 9 different actors playing Chuck.
That's too many Chucks.
You have to have him in every phase of his life. There's like, you know, toddler Chuck, 5th grade Chuck, 6th grade Chuck, 6th grade post-growth spurt Chuck.
Can't they just like change his haircut every time? Like they normally do.
There's like there. I think there are like 3 actors playing young Chuck.
What's up? I'm 7-year-old Chuck. Hello, next scene.
I was 11-year-old girlfriend. Remember that from Walk Hard?
Oh, yeah.
I was 14-year-old wife. Yeah, I don't know how it's gonna make a whole movie, except to add other characters who have to die when the lights turn off.
I mean, if they really want to be ballsy, just do 45 minutes of the end of the earth thing, and then the second 45 minutes are Chuck, and everyone's just like, what?
I bet it goes back and forth in time.
Yeah,
more.
It's got to bounce, probably. But we'll see. Fuck it. Who knows?
We'll do it you? Live.
If you know, tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Maybe this is just act one of us. We haven't gotten to the acts where shit happens yet with our reading of this. Follow us on go to patreon.com. That's where you should go. That should be the one website left after Pornhub is gone. Patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub, where we will not make porn, probably.
And we'll also be on the socials because there's no God. And also Goodreads, where we'll be.
Because there is no good.
It's where the pets go.
Stamps.com.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.